just so you know, this episode, we are going to be talking about money. And I know it's a sensitive topic. And because of my position as the leader of a church, as a spiritual leader, right, as a church pastor, I don't want you to think that this is me just asking for money, because actually, I don't get paid from donations from the local church. In the Seventh-day Adventist system, the way that it works is it comes from the conference. So how much people donate at my local church doesn't really affect how much I get paid. So it's not about me making more money, but rather about, even for myself, what do I do with the money that I do have? So just things for us to think about. I just want you to keep this in mind. I'll probably repeat this throughout this talk because it is a live video. I want to make sure that people don't get the wrong idea and think that I'm just doing this to raise funds for myself or to ask for donations. It's not what I'm going to do. I'm reading from a book. The book is called Christ Object Lessons, and I'll have a link to it on my blog, prmarlin.com. You can always just Google Christ Object Lessons, chapter 25. And this is the part that talks about money. So it's a subsection of chapter 25 in the book Christ Object Lessons. And like I mentioned before, this book was published in the year 1900. It's Old English. I think there's a lot of wisdom in this book, especially in this chapter that we've been going over, I guess, one little part per week. And we're going to jump into, once again, chapter 25. If you have the physical book, this would be around page 351, depending on the edition of this book you have. But I am live on Facebook and on the Wisdom app, and I'm going to see if I can put it up on YouTube later. I'm still struggling with that. I'm working on that to improve it. But thank you for joining me. Thank you for your time. I do not want to take any longer than I think is necessary to cover this topic. So I love to jump right in. So without further ado, this episode is based on money, and this is a challenge for you as well as for me. Let's look at the text. The text comes from Christ Object Lessons, chapter 25, and see how it challenges us and what we can learn from it as we move forward. So money. So once again, this is not meant, I'm not proposing this as an authoritative, take my views or take this book. It's rather a conversation starter. What do you think? Give me your thoughts. Let's think through this together. So here we go. I'm quoting from the book right now. It says, God also entrusts men and women with means. He gives them power to get wealth. Okay, so the power to get wealth is a gift from God, right? If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be able to get wealth. We wouldn't be able to have the money that we have. Perhaps you're listening to this and think, well, I don't think I have enough money. I'd like to have more. Or maybe you feel like, well, I think I have enough. It's few people who feel that way, but maybe you're one of those. But wherever you are in this line, right, what you have, I agree with the author here that this is a gift from God, right? Of course, you work hard. Of course, you develop. Maybe you start your own business. Maybe you worked really hard to graduate from school and you've got a good job. Or maybe you're working your way up. You just got started. But wherever you are in this spectrum of making money, you are only there. You're only at this point because of what God has given you. So far, so good. So here's going back to quoting from the book. It says, this is talking about God, waters the earth with the dews of heaven and with the showers of refreshing rain. He gives the sunlight which warms the earth, awakening to life the things of nature and causing them to flourish and bear fruit. He asks for a return of his own. So this is the mindset, right? Once again, my audience here, I know it's very diverse, especially on the Wisdom app. And if you're not a Christian or a Bible follower, that's okay. You can still listen to this talk and engage with me and share your thoughts. I happen to be a Bible follower. I believe the Bible is inspired. And what the author here is sharing in this book, I'm not quoting from the Bible, I'm quoting from Christ Object Lessons, which is a different book. I agree. This is the biblical worldview, the idea that God is the one that provides the rain and the sunshine. God is the one that causes things to grow. So in a sense, you know, everything that is life is only because of God. So the idea here is that God also asks for a return of what's his to begin with, right? We couldn't cause things to grow and to flourish on our own. We need God and his power for that to happen. So just things to keep in mind. This is the worldview. This is how we're going to be tackling this topic of money. So next paragraph here from the book, back to quoting, our money has not been given us that we might honor and glorify ourselves. So according to the author, the point of our money in light of God and what we just talked about is not just to honor and glorify ourselves. As faithful stewards, we are to use it for the honor and glory of God. So the idea here is that we are stewards, right? The money, the wealth, it belongs to God, and He gives it to us, and now we take care of it for Him. We use it for the honor and glory of God. Do you agree? Do you disagree? What are your thoughts on this? Leave them in the comments. And if you're watching on the Wisdom app or watching, listening on the Wisdom app, you know, you have links there to my social media. Give me a comment on your thoughts on this, on the topic of money. So going back to quoting from the book, some think that only a portion of their means is the Lord's. When they have set apart a portion for religious and charitable purposes, they regard the remainder as their own and to be used as they see fit. And to be completely honest, as I am reading this, I find myself to belong to this group. My wife and I, we have our budget. Whenever I get paid and whenever she gets paid, we divide it up. And there's a portion that we donate for our local church. There's a portion that we donate for mission work and different things. And there's different ministries and there's people that we help in different ways. And this is all budgeted. And then the other part of the money also goes, you know, for the bills and different things and children, education, retirement, and all those things. So we have assigned, you know, things carefully. So I'm interested here in what the author has to say. You know, this idea that you set apart something for religious and charitable purposes and then regard the remainder as their own to be used as they see fit. Let's see what happens next here. It says, but in this they mistake. Once again, this book was published in the year 1900, so it's older English. So the sentence here says, but in this they mistake. Next sentence, all we possess is the Lord's, and we are accountable to Him for the use we make of it. So I guess my understanding here is not that it's wrong to use the money as we see fit, but rather we should keep in mind that, you know, we're going to be held accountable for how we used it. So you have the freedom to use it in any way you want, but just know that, you know, you're going to be held accountable for how you use it. So just keep this in mind. In the use, and next sentence here, I'm back to quoting now, it says, in the use of every penny, it will be seen whether we love God supremely and our neighbor as ourselves. So this is, I guess, the key commandment that different portions of you know, these talks that I've been doing here, these videos, if you're watching online, or if you're on my blog, you know, and you're listening to this as a podcast, you know, these different episodes, it always comes back to this. Do we love God above everything and our neighbor as ourselves? So if we do, the way that we use our money, does it reflect that? And I think that this is a worthwhile point to consider, because here's the thing, right? If I say these things with my mouth, I'd say, oh yes, God above everything and my neighbor as myself. But then the way that I spend my money does not reflect that. Is that real? Is that true? Do I really have those values, or are those preferred values? Like, these are values that I love to talk about and say that I have them, but really when it comes down to it, it's not how I live my life. So I find this personally, once again, this is my view, my take on all of this, is the way that I use my money. If someone was to just to see my budget, right, and where every dollar was spent last month, last week, does it reflect that I love God above everything and my neighbor as myself? Or does it reflect that really I love myself above everything else? Things to think about. And this is something that I am thinking about as well. Like I said, this is not meant as me talking down to you or telling you how to live your life. This is how I challenge my life, myself, and how I live my life. And these are conversations that I have with my wife, you know, as we figure out a budget together prayerfully. And these, I think, are important things to consider as we go through this process. So I'm going now to the next paragraph, and I'm back to quoting. It says, money has great value, which is true, because it can do great good. I agree with that. Next sentence, in the hands of God's children, it is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, clothing for the naked. It is a defense for the oppressed and a means of help to the sick. But money is of no more value than sand. Only as it is put to use in providing for the necessities of life, in blessing others, in advancing the cause of Christ. So really interesting. Let's talk about this here for a moment. I covered quite a few things here. I like the idea that money in the hands of God's children is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, clothing for the naked, defense for the oppressed, and a means to help the sick. But you know what comes to my mind in this, and this is because, you know, I've worked with churches for what, 14 years now, almost 15. So I've witnessed enough of life and of, you know, this issue that we have called codependency. And I don't know if I have a firm grasp on the word, but it's just people that sort of rely on you to provide for them always instead of learning to provide for themselves. This is something that I struggle with. I like to help people. Helping people is difficult to do. And this is why I also like, you know, here we just had a business meeting with our church yesterday, which is where all the members come together and we go over the budget and sort of explain how it works so people know where their donation is going and how it's being used. And I like for the church to be aware of the ministries and how it's helping others and different things. And we discuss this together prayerfully. There's a finance committee, there's a church board, and then we bring it to the church in business session, which is for all the members. Anyway, enough about my personal church. But I think this is important for us to do even as a family, or if you're by yourself and you're single, your budget, you know, to look at it and be, okay, where is the money going? How am I putting this to work? Because I have people, in my family, in my church, in my neighborhood, you know, that I guess not in my neighborhood because I'm new here. I don't really know a lot of my neighbors, but in my previous house when I was in Georgia, I knew my neighbors. And why am I saying this? The more that I know people, the easier it is to help them. For example, in church, we know the families. We know when someone's sick. We know when someone has lost a job. We know when someone is struggling, going through something. Because we talk, we get to know each other, we share. And that means we are better equipped to help them as well. When the funds are in place, we can help with food. We can help with clothing. We can help with just a presence, someone to talk to. So there's all these different ways of helping people. And the reason why I mention this is because it can become easy to quiet our conscience just by throwing money at something, at someone in need, and thinking, okay, I helped. But really what they needed, it was not so much money, but, you know, maybe some guidance, maybe someone to help them budget, maybe someone to help them find a job, maybe someone to help them keep their job, maybe someone to help watch the children while they work. You see what I'm saying? It's helping, but it's in a larger degree, because the codependency thing is, you know, you have that family member who's just terrible with money and can never keep a job. And you're always helping pay for the hotel room, helping pay for a meal. And then they crash at your place for a little bit. And they crash at somebody else's for a little bit. And then, you know, and you're just, and they never get better. And I'm not saying stop helping. I'm saying by all means help. By all means help with the food and you know, a night at a hotel or whatever you need. But what if we went beyond that also, as opposed to just throwing money at it and then feeling like, oh, okay, I did my part. And this is the only thing that comes to mind, you know, when this comes up, because there are people who take advantage of the system, being the church, as far as, you know, my experience has been. But even personally, you know, you probably have that too. There's those family members, there's people in your life, friends, roommates, who seem to, you work really hard for your money. They are careless with theirs. And then in their moments of need, you find yourself sponsoring their carelessness. So I'm just being completely honest with you. This is how I struggle with it. This is how I view it when I read things like this. And when I'm all for helping the poor, I'm all for helping those in need, I'm all for helping people around me, especially people that I know, because that it's easier for me to understand their circumstances. And you know, to help people in my community, but also abroad, and I donate to different things. But I like knowing exactly how the money is being used and where it's going. But maybe it's just me being too careful with details. But I'm just posing the challenge there for you, right? What is the best way to help? You do want to use your money to help others, but you want to be wise about it, not just throwing money at it. So I guess I'm saying don't be careless, and be careful also not to become, you know, just to enable someone to continue to be careless. So for example, I know somebody who went on vacation, and they went to a tropical country for vacation. They took like weeks there and came back, and no surprise, rent was due. And then they came asking for money to help pay for their rent. And I was thinking, you know, like, I haven't taken my vacation because, you know, finances are tight and I'm just working really hard and budgeting, and I saved up some money, and now you're in an emergency. You're about to lose your place. And I feel like it's my place to help. I should help. Jesus calls me to help those in need. But also, in a way, I'm sponsoring your vacation, and meanwhile, I haven't taken a vacation. So it's just, you know, maybe I'm oversharing, but it's just part of my struggle. And I'm sharing with you because, you know, it's like I said, I'm not asking for donations. I'm not making money from donations. This is rather a talk about money and how do we make it work for God, work for our community, to be a blessing for others, because it is a blessing that I have received. But without without just enabling somebody else to continue to be careless with their means. So things to keep in mind, there are people who are really in need and need help of money, and we should help. And even in cases like this, where I don't think it's the best thing, I still end up helping because I don't want that person to lose their job. But I reached out and I tried to help that person budget. And I also gave them, you know, a heads up, said, look, next time I'm not going to help you with this. This isn't an emergency. This is something that's foreseeable. Every month rent is due. So you knew this was coming. It's not like you lost your job. It's not like there was an emergency regarding your health. This is preventable. So, you know, have those conversations. Don't just throw money at things. But also, I believe that giving money is part of what we're called to do as followers of God, to help alleviate the suffering of those around us. If that makes any sense, I'm sorry if this didn't, but if it was helpful, you know, let me know. Leave a comment. Interact with me. So I'm going back here to the book, to the next paragraph. It says, hoarded wealth is not merely useless, it is a curse. I'm going to highlight this and I'm going to read this again. Hoarded wealth is not merely useless, it is a curse. In this life, it is a snare to the soul, drawing the affections away from the heavenly treasure. So this is really interesting, right? So if you're hoarding your wealth here on earth, it causes you to lose sight of eternal things, of heavenly things. I agree with the author on this point. It makes sense to me. So in this, I'm going to read this again. Hoarded wealth is not merely useless, it is a curse. In this life, it is a snare to the soul, drawing the affections away from from the heavenly treasure. I'm going back here, I'm continuing quoting actually. In the great day of God, its witness, let me say this again. In the great day of God, its witness to unused talents and neglected opportunities will condemn its possessor. Okay, I get it now. So the hoarded wealth is a witness to unused talents, right? It's things that you had that you didn't put to use, you didn't put to work. So it also represents neglected opportunities. The money is just sitting there. It's not being used. It says this, it's a witness of unused talents and neglected opportunities, and it will condemn its possessor. So if you're just hoarding wealth, not using it for anything good, it'll be a condemnation to you in the day of judgment, according to the author. And I can see that point being made, and I can see how that makes sense. If you've ever seen the movie Schindler's List, not necessarily recommending you watch it. It's a good movie, but it's not a light movie to watch. But at the very end, you have this man who, Schindler, who had helped many, and then he realizes he could have helped more people. And he looks at like his wedding band and it's like, oh, this could have saved another life, or his car and different things. If I remember correctly, it's been a few years. But the idea is when he realizes, right, when things are put into perspective, it's like, oh, I could have done more. And once again, I'm not doing this just to guilt you. I want you to actually be intentional about what you do with your money, how you think it through. And I'd love to know your thoughts. Once again, if you're listening to this as a podcast, leave a comment on my blog, prmarlon.com, prmarlon.com. If you're on Facebook, leave a comment on this video. If you're on the Wisdom app, follow me and then find the links to my social media and interact. I want your thoughts on this. This is not me lecturing you. This is us figuring this out together. I'd love to know what you think. So going back here. Okay, so this next part, the author quotes from James 5, 1 through 4, but the quote is from the King James Bible. So I pulled it up here on my computer, on my laptop, on the New International Version, which is a little bit easier to read. So the author quotes from James 5, 1 through 4. I'm going to read from James 5, 1 through 6, because I think it gives us more context and it's even better. So here's the quote. Now, this is from the Bible, the book of James, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming to you. Your wealth has rotted, and the moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you." So this is a judgment against the rich for withholding the wages of workers for them and of taking advantage of the poor. So maybe this doesn't apply to everybody, but if it applies to you, and I think, you know, in a way, if I'm recording this from America, right? From a country of opportunities, from a position of privilege, you know, at least when you compare to the rest of the world. Now, it's easy for me to find someone who makes a lot more than me and say, oh, it's not about me, it's about the rich, and I'm not rich. It's all about perspective, right? If you visit some different countries, you realize, well, actually, I'm doing a lot better than a lot of people. So I say it's worthwhile for all of us to take this to heart. Am I withholding wages from someone? Am I paying people what they're worth for the work that they're doing? Not just for us to complain about how our boss doesn't pay us enough for what we do, you know, which is our tendency. Like, I'm the poor, I'm the one that's oppressed. But really, you know, are we being fair with others? And I think it's worthwhile to consider this when we interact with other people, when we hire someone to do something for us. Just things to keep in mind. This idea that God talks about judgment and the wealth that you take at the advantage of somebody else, right? You take advantage of someone else to gain your wealth. That's going to be held against you in the day of judgment. So not that it's wrong to have wealth, but rather to use it or not to gain it in a way that causes suffering to another. So those are my thoughts on that. And let's go back here. The next paragraph, we're almost done with this portion. It says, "But Christ sanctions no lavish or careless use of means." So according to the author, Jesus is not about lavish and careless use of the means that we have. His lesson in economy, and this is from John 6:12, we're going to quote now, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." This is when Jesus feeds the multitude. It says, "He who realizes that his money is a talent from God will use it economically, and will feel it a duty to save that he may give." So the idea is that you don't waste your money, whether you use it wisely, economically, so that you may be able to help as many people as possible. At least this is the gist that I get from the author here on this part. And the very last paragraph, "The more means we expend in display and self-indulgence, the less we can have to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. Every penny used unnecessarily deprives the spender of a precious opportunity of doing good. It is robbing God of the honor and glory which should flow back to him through the improvements of his entrusted talents." So like I said, this is challenging. It's heavy. And that's why I like it, because I like a good challenge. I like to be challenged out of my comfort zone and pushed to do better. And it's heavy, right? When the author here says every penny used unnecessarily deprives the spender of a precious opportunity of doing good. Once again, written in the 1900s, the world was a little bit different. But I think that the thrust of the message is the same. Are we just wasting money, in display and self-indulgence, or are we using it to benefit somebody else? So things to keep in mind. I'm going to leave those thoughts with you. I'd love to hear back from you what you think about this on our next one. Hopefully next week, we'll keep this going. We'll be doing one a week, and it's working so far. We're going to be talking about, at least in the book here, it says kindly impulses and affections. I'm looking forward to studying that and sharing with you. Once again, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And you can find all of these. If this is your first one that you're listening, you missed some of the other ones, you can find all of them on my blog, prmarlon.com. That's prmarlon.com. That's my blog. And I have all of these on there. This one may be coming up in a little bit because I record them live, but there's a queue. You know, there's some waiting line to be posted. But I have the notes on there, and you can follow me or contact me, reach out for more information. I hope this was useful. You know, agree with me, disagree with me. Let me know your thoughts. I would love to hear them. But until next time, may God bless you.
I would like to take this opportunity to thank Ryan Bell for this beautiful music. Thank you so much, Ryan. I'll see you guys in the next episode.